This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go, and we go to the hotline right now. We're going to talk Texans and Packers and get the Green Bay side of things. Marcus Eversole, afternoon host, 107.5, the Fan in Green Bay. Better Call Eversole, the name of his show. I was on his show yesterday. He joins us on Payne and Pendergast today. Marcus, good to have you on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. So what are they saying right now up in Green Bay? We'll dig into some of the details of the game right now, but what's the energy level for this game between a couple really good young quarterbacks and a couple really good football teams?
A lot of energy. Definitely a game that we've all had circled on the schedule ever since it came out back in the spring. As you said, I think a lot of similarities between these two teams. Of course, the quarterbacks, Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, two of the best young quarterbacks in the game. And there's honestly, you know, not to divert into the aesthetics of athletics, but there's a lot of energy in the locker room right now about the uniforms the Packers will be wearing. They're, for the first time, wearing an alternate white helmet. So they'll be wearing white pants, white jerseys, white socks, and an all-white helmet. So, I mean, you know how the younger generation is, and I still am barely part of it, I think. They get really excited about stuff like that. So it's a big game feel and new uniforms. And the only thing, like we talked about yesterday, the only thing that's a little confusing is how in the world this game got the noon treatment, and it's not a primetime game.
Yeah, it's a noon game, and yet it gets Tony Romo. It's getting some of the treatment that way. I don't get it either. Other than that, it's a Houston sports team. They love to put us at midday whenever possible. Yeah. AL, the baseball playoffs, whatever it is. Yeah, put it at midday. I think the biggest thing from this offseason, Marcus, is that Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, in a lot of ways, have been in a lot of the same conversations. And yet, Packers fans are annoyingly so polite that they wouldn't even do us the honor of, like, hating C.J. Stroud. They would say things like, I would listen to our national show that takes a lot of calls. It would always be a Packers fan saying, hey, everybody, I know that C.J. had a good year, but what about Jordan? He did pretty good too, right? So that's about as indignant as Packers fans will get. Is that a fair assessment that I think a lot of Packers fans have thought, like, hey, look, like, Jordan Love did a lot of these things that C.J. Stroud was doing last year?
I think that's fair. I think if C.J. Stroud were a Chicago Bear, then that would be a very different reaction, obviously. But, I mean, what's not to like about C.J. Stroud? And what's not to – the Houston Texans, you guys know the history a heck of a lot better than I do, but I know the gist of the history, and there's not much good history there. So from, I think, a Packer fan's perspective, there's almost a respect and like a deep breath or a sigh of relief, like, well, you know, good for the Houston Texans. Maybe it's just a Midwest nice thing, but I definitely feel like there's a respect for the Texans because they haven't been here. And after, you know, decades of mediocrity at best, then you get a franchise quarterback who looks like, I mean, you guys are in, you think about the best young quarterbacks in the sport and setting yourself up for success in the future. With C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract, that's like a cheat code, you know? It doesn't happen often. So, I mean, we know here what a big challenge it'll be on Sunday, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of respect for C.J. Stroud because how could there not be?
Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, joining us. Marcus, Packers offensively, Josh Jacobs was a huge signing for them this offseason. They move on from Aaron Jones, and they bring in Josh Jacobs. How surprising was that move in Green Bay? Were you guys surprised by that move? And can you kind of frame for us what Josh Jacobs has meant to this offense so far this year?
I was shocked at the move. And literally, I mean, everything about the running back position this offseason was the opposite of what we all expected, meaning Aaron Jones to end last season had the best five-game stretch of his career. Now, he's in his age 30 season now, so that's always kind of the benchmark, as you guys know, where running backs can kind of father time can catch up to him. But to end last season, Aaron Jones literally had the best five-game stretch of his NFL career, and everybody expected that they'd bring him back, that he'd either take a pay cut, which, by the way, he did multiple times for the Packers. Apparently, he didn't want to go as low as the Packers wanted him to go, and business is business when that's the case. If you ask someone to take a pay cut and they say they're not going to go that low, then you have to be prepared to move on from them. So everybody expected Jones to be back on a reduced salary or a restructured deal. He was not. He goes on to the Vikings. The Packers signed Josh Jacobs, younger, bigger, more durable theoretically, but also Jacobs, even though he's younger, 3 years younger, has more career touches than Aaron Jones. And I think you could still make an argument that Aaron Jones, as of whatever the date is, October 17th, 2024, you could make a compelling argument that Aaron Jones right now is still better than Josh Jacobs. That said, Jacobs has been pretty solid. He doesn't have the sexy running style. He's not the home run hitter that Aaron Jones is. Just gets a lot of tough yards between the tackles, bouncing off guys rather than the jump cut stuff, getting down the sideline and taking it to the house. But guys, the Packers right now, 6 weeks into the season, they are second in the league in rushing, second to only the Baltimore Ravens, averaging 167 yards a game. So it looks different. I was shocked at how they handled the running back position because everybody expected Jones to be back. But you're kind of seeing what they envisioned when they made the move to Josh Jacobs, because you can't really say a bad word about him. It looks different. Like I said, it's not as flashy as the running style of Aaron Jones, but they definitely lean heavily on the run. The numbers are a little skewed, of course, because they had the two games with Malik Willis at quarterback, so I don't expect the run-pass split to be as balanced as it has been so far through 6 weeks, but the run game is definitely a huge part of this offense.
What's the biggest, maybe either weakness or question mark about the Packers right now that you guys are talking about that maybe the national media or people at large aren't focused in on?
I mean, I hate to do it because talking about the kicking game can make for bad radio, which I guess says a lot about my show over the past.
Not around here. We're in love with our kicker.
Oh, yeah. We love Kyrie Fairbairn. Go away. Hey, kicker talk away, Marcus. Go ahead.
Well, you guys have no drama there with it, but here it's so in the off. Okay, ever since, let me back up. Last season, they had a rookie kicker, Anders Carlson. They drafted him in the sixth round. They never brought competition in for him because I think their thought process was, granted, they're going from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't have real expectations. They won't come out and say that, but let's be real. They didn't think they'd be a kicker away from an NFC Championship game. And guess what happened? They made a run late in the season. They got to the divisional round of the playoffs. They're leading the Niners by 3 points with 6 minutes left, lining up a 41-yard field goal, and their rookie kicker missed it. He missed at least one kick in the last five games. He missed at least one kick in 10 of their last 12 games. Needless to say, they decided to go a different direction in the offseason. They actually did something revolutionary, which is bring in competition for a crappy kicker. They had seven kickers on the roster since the end of last season. Just, okay, can this guy compete? No. Get rid of him, bring in a new guy. Anders Carlson versus Greg Joseph, the former Viking, was the competition throughout the offseason. Then at the end of camp, they decide neither of these guys is good enough, so we're going to bring in a guy off waivers from the Titans and Braden Narveson. He was their kicker through the first six games. He made 12 of 17 field goals and had another miss actually called back or negated because of penalty. So let's just call it six misses through six games. Finally, they said, screw it, enough is enough. This team is too good. We got to move on. So they bring in Brandon McManus, who of course was accused of sexual assault by two flight attendants stemming from an incident on the Jaguars team flight to London last year. Yeah. He says that situation's been resolved, so the Packers have a new kicker. Now, 10-year track record for Brandon McManus is pretty damn good, but ever since the Packers got rid of Mason Crosby, I guess I'm scarred, along with the rest of Packer Nation, that you're really, it's at a point now, listen, it's a 3-point spread, guys. Yeah. You know, it's the Packers are favored by three on Sunday, and I can't help but think, late-game situation, you're lining up a new kicker in Brandon McManus. I think there's more confidence in him because he's done it for a decade, but that's a really long-winded way of saying that the kicking game is very much the biggest question with this team.
Well, and the Texans play a ton of close games. Like, they've played – D'Amico Ryans has been here for 23 regular season games. 14 of them have gone down to the final minute, and a lot of them have been decided by field goals, either by Kyahmi Fairbairn or – by the opposition. So that is actually a relevant angle, I would imagine, to any Texans game, especially one where the spread is actually 3 points. Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, joining us on the program. The biggest topic with respect to the Packers that we've been talking about today, Marcus, and this week, is this defense's ability to force turnovers. Take us inside that a little bit. What is it about this defense that has made them so good at turning the other team over this year?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of things. Obviously, the change at coordinator from Joe Barry last year, the last few years, very conservative style, keep everything in front of you, but not get too aggressive. They go from Joe Barry, whose defense had 18 takeaways all of last season, 18 takeaways through 17 games. They bring in Jeff Hafley, a more aggressive four-man front defense, vision based on the back end. And the Packers already have 17 takeaways through six games. So a league-high 17 takeaways through six games, one takeaway fewer than they had all of last season. You chalk a lot of it up to the scheme, certainly, just the half-lead scheme mentality. And then from a personnel perspective, I mean, they went out and broke the bank on Xavier McKinney, and he's been sensational. He had an interception in each of the first five games of the season, got shut out last week, so I guess now he can say that he is overrated. But no, I mean, McKinney's been one of the best safeties in the NFL. And then, guys, for a pretty good defense, there's several rookies who have made a huge impact, highlighted by Evan Williams, the second safety they drafted. So they took Javon Bullard in the second round out of Georgia. He started every game, but they're kind of experimenting with Bullard as the slot corner now, depending on matchup, depending on who they're playing. And Evan Williams, this fourth-round rookie out of Oregon, going back to training camp, I mean, there are very few practices that I leave without an Evan Williams highlight to talk about, number 33, which that was the first thing that stood out. It was like, oh, wow, they gave Aaron Jones' jersey number away that quickly. But, I mean, Evan Williams made sure he noticed him. He probably had a half dozen interceptions throughout training camp. He forced a fumble last week, punching it out like Peanut Tillman back in the day. Right now, I know Pro Football Focus is only one metric, and people get all up in arms about it and how valuable is it, whatever. Right now, the Packers have the top two graded safeties in the National Football League. Evan Williams, the fourth-round rookie, is number one. Xavier McKinney is number two. Again, that's only one metric, but could not be more impressed with what Evan Williams has shown thus far. So in terms of the turnovers, I think it's a combination of, one, the more aggressive scheme, and two, they just made some really wise moves in terms of personnel, because safety last season was by far the biggest weakness next to kicker, and they at least improved the safety position.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know one of the question marks about Jordan Love last year was some of his decision making, and sometimes that's unfair with a young quarterback because you're looking at two or three situations that maybe tell more of a story than it should. How have those concerns fared this year so far?
Yeah, so this is going to sound like, you know, I don't know, first world problems or spoiled problems, I guess, because I'm going to compare Jordan Love to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Love, by nature, is way more Favre than he is Rodgers in terms of he'll throw up some of those, I'll call them YOLO balls, like you only live once, screw it, let's throw it down there, try something, see if something works. It worked last week, his second touchdown to Romeo Doubs. They were blitzing on the play. He decided to chuck it deep to Dobbs, and it worked out with a touchdown. A few weeks before that, he tried something similar down the field to Dontaeve and Wicks, and it was a horrible-looking interception, very Favrean interception. So that's kind of his nature. Last week, though, he was lights out against the Arizona Cardinals, and that was really the first time all season that we saw Jordan Love play like he did down the stretch last season. When he turned things around in the middle of November last year, he had a stretch where he threw 21 touchdowns to one interception. I mean, his his numbers were better than any quarterback in the NFL down the stretch last season through the last couple months. I feel like a big part of how he started the season with some of those questionable decisions was the fact that he suffered that knee injury in the first game of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles on the third to last play, missed the next two games, and you're just trying to think back to, I know a lot of teams don't play the starters in the preseason. The Packers did not. The first team offense played a total of three snaps in the preseason. They threw a long touchdown to Dontavian Wicks, and they got the hook. That was it. So you combine no preseason time, and then you get hurt in the first game of the season, take two games off because of the injury, come back, and you're still kind of working your way back into a groove. And I feel like last week was the first time we really saw things click for Jordan Love.
Marcus Eversole, 107.5, The Fan in Green Bay. Hey, Marcus, real quick, what's your prediction on this game?
If I had a coin on me right now, I would flip it, and I would tell you. I really think this game could go either way. We were talking yesterday. We do see a high-scoring game. Yeah. I think it probably comes down late fourth quarter. Hopefully it doesn't come down to the Packers kicker because, yeah. But I'm going to say at home, the Packers are going to win this one. I think both teams are flirting with 30 points. I'll say Packers 31, Texans 27 or something.
Yep, there you go. Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay. Better Call Eversole, the name of his show. Hey, Marcus, appreciate you making some time. Really good insight. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, take care. Have a good show today, man. Marcus Eversole joining us here.
On exit. Marquez, it's spelled M-A-R-Q-U-E-S.
Yeah.
Eversole, E-V-E-R-S-O-L-L.
Yep. Yep.
I spelled it wrong and it popped up. So just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Get close to that and you can follow him.
Does a good job. Yeah. And sometimes people like to dip into the other, the other city as your team's getting ready. He does a good job.
The kicker stuff, I was getting super excited when he was going over the long laundry list of bad kickers. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, they got Brandon McManus there, who's just, despite whatever his off field issues were,
he's good.
He's a good kicker.
A good kicker. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Payne and Penner.
The Texans would have Texans would never harbor an alleged sexual predator the way. Never mind.
No, they would not. Yeah. They would not.
No.
A lot of people weighing in on the cornerback safety potential acquisition for the Texans. Someone saying Patrick Peterson's on the couch right now. That's cool. You're not getting the Patrick Peterson from back in the Arizona days. That's the only problem.
Patrick Peterson's on the couch, and you always have to ask yourself, why is he still on the couch?
Correct.
Is it all right? If there's 31 other teams that are interested in Patrick Peterson, then why should the Texans be interested
in
him?
When I last saw Patrick Peterson, he was getting cooked by Nico Collins to end the Steelers game last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
You know who's out there? What about Steven Nelson?
Someone's texting about that. I was just going to run that one by you. Would you all be mad at a milk dud reunion with Steven Nelson?
We used to call him Mr. Defensive Holding waiting to happen.
That's what they used to call him back
in
Kansas City, man.
They used to call him Kansas City.
I mean, it doesn't fit real well on a jersey, but that's what
following
they call
him. Following the time-tested strategy of the New England Patriots and being awesome at football but horrible at slogans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the Steven Nelson. Okay, I've been watching the Jim McMahon documentary and one thing about
Vince McMahon.
Yes, that as well. The Vince McMahon documentary. And one thing that Vince McMahon never would do is let personal feelings or grudge matches get in the way of business.
That's right.
And he would bring back in guys that had wronged him or that he had wronged and welcome them back into the fold. Man, I think it might be time for Steven Nelson. If he's in shape, I don't know what he's been doing.
Right.
Yeah, he retired. But he retired after he wasn't getting a lot of interest in free agency. So it's a question as to whether he's been staying in shape or not.
I would welcome last year's Steven Nelson with open arms right now with the injuries in this secondary. I know, Vince McMahon this thing and put the personal feelings aside, That's the only thing you want to do. That's the only time we say Vince McMahon this thing and use it in that, positively. But I'm impressed with how closely you're paying attention to this Vince McMahon documentary. I got to tell you, you're pulling little nuggets out of this thing.
I'm taking notes and everything.
Yeah.
This is it's fascinating.
Yeah.
They did most of this before all of the allegations, the most recent allegations
nasty
emerged.
Stuff,
so you get like the newsreel version of all of that.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating as a business person what he was how he operated.
He was something else, man.
His son has grown on me too. Shane
O'Mac.
Like, this dopey fool, this nepo baby. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize he was willing to do all this crazy stuff in the ring that nobody else would do.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this kid was really. His father was going to withhold praise and responsibility unless he proved himself, and he took the challenge by the horns, and his father still didn't want to grant him that responsibility.
Even after falling like 80 feet off a cage and things like that.
Shane's aged well, too. Like, he's another two guys in this. Shane McMahon is like better looking as a middle-aged man than he was as a younger guy.
Yep.
And then what's his name? Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff, I'm watching, like, Bischoff, you're seeing him in this interview, and then they're showing clips of him from when he was young.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell happened to this guy?
Yeah.
This guy is like a silver fox now.
He is.
He's just like a dopey IT guy early in his career.
He is. Bischoff's great, man. He's great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Will Anderson took home some hardware yesterday. I'm assuming you get hardware for Player of the Week. The hardware that the Texans give to the player of the week is not Nick Caserio, not a big fan. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. We'll hear from Will Anderson coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.